Welcome to World Radio KHOE 90.5 FM from the campus of Maharshi University of Management and the program What's New on Campus. And today, we have a longtime participant of the Invisibility course here at Maharshi University of Management, and Amo's wonderful daughter, Naomi, also on the IE course. Thank you for coming, Amo.
Very pleased to be here.
And Naomi, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
So, I want to start off by reading a little bit about Amo before we get into his profession. He's a wonderful writer, he's a wonderful poet, and we're going to have lots of fun on this program. So Amo Bär was born in a small town in South Germany. Because of the Nazi persecution, he had to leave Germany in 1937 with his whole family and immigrated to the town Naharia in northern Israel. In 1941, Amo joined the British Army in World War II and fought in Egypt, Libya, and Italy. In 1945, he settled down in Naharia and married his wife, Rivka. They had two children, a son, Yoram, and daughter, Naomi. He became a successful farmer, growing vegetables, avocados, and roses for export to Europe. He received an award for being the first exporter of roses in the Western Galilee from Prime Minister of Israel, Levi Eshkol, in 1966. Now, Amo participated in the War of Independence and all the other Israeli wars. As a nature lover, he liked to hike throughout some beautiful Israel. In 1974, he and his family started to practice transcendental meditation. And his house in the Naharia settlement became a center for learning TM when his daughter Naomi became a teacher of TM in 1984.
1975.
We all started
meditating in 72, actually.
He
was
1 year later. 72 he started TM.
Yeah.
75, 76. They have to make it change.
Very good.
He started TM in 73.
Well, that's a long time any way you look at it. And in 1984, TM brought him with his wife to Maharshi University of Management, yes, 1984. Here in Fairfield, Iowa, and here in the beautiful, peaceful surroundings, he started working in the university library. At the age of 80, he became a full-time student and graduated with three bachelor degrees in literature. Sustainable Living and Vedic Science, Maharshi's teaching. He wrote his autobiography, The Transcendental Rose, a wonderful book, by the way, and a historical novel of the Stork's Nest, and is now publishing his poems. Practicing the advanced form of TM, the TM City program in the Golden Dome on campus, keeps Amo's health up and active, being now 92 years old. He says that this is a sign how well TM works for each individual practicing it regularly, and at the same time creating world peace through the scientifically proved super radiance effect. Now, welcome Naomi and Amo. Amo, I wonder if we could start off now. The last writing you've done is your poem, your book of poems. Perhaps you tell us a little bit about that book and how you were inspired to write it and maybe read a few poems, huh?
Yeah, as you said, for four years I was a student. I was over 8 years old, and my favorite was poetry. And I was inspired by Ninke Pasi, who was a wonderful teacher. And I wrote mostly, but some of those poems also I wrote afterwards. Mm. And a friend of mine discovered them in my computer where they were buried for many years, and he said they are very good and you should publish them. So I got the idea, and I hope that those who will read those poems will agree with me that they're good. So I start publishing, because to print it out, I have added many pictures, color pictures. It's very expensive, so we put them on a website, and the website is
yes, the website is /student.pla.net/poetry/climbing/mount-sinai. Now I'll repeat that again at the end of the program.
So it's possible to look them up on this website and to read all of them. I can read only a few because we don't have so much time. And I may start with the first one.
Wonderful. Please begin.
Okay. The first one is, and that is also the title of the book, it's called Mount Sinai. Can you imagine ever having stood on top of the world? I did. Can you imagine a place where God spoke directly to Moses and the people of Israel? I was there. In the middle of the vast Sinai desert, three black granite peaks rise above the white sea of sand. Early morning, still night, a bald monk dressed in a brown robe opens the inner gate with an enormous key to let us out to ascend the holy mount. At first, we go up a comfortable trail and passing by the miraculous place where Moses hit the rock, a mighty spring splashes out for the first thirsty waiting crowd. Later, steep steps chiseled in the hard granite lead us to the top. A tiny chapel built of black rocks greets the heavy breathing climbers. The cool air refreshes like a calming spray. I feel I stand on holy ground. I can hear God speaking to the prophet. When I look down, I see a gathered mass waiting for the enlightening message. All the lower mountains, like giant sheep, surround the mighty ram where I stand. A frail light glimmers on the edge of distant horizon, a silver lining flashing on the lower mountain chain. A shining strip marks the rising sun. No more brightness lightens the vastness. A new day begins as a million years before. Staring breathlessly, overwhelmed with nature's splendor, I settle down behind the hidden rock to go into myself. An unforgettable relaxation, a peaceful bliss captures me as I try to grasp the enormity of this eternal instant.
Beautiful.
The next one is called Spring Morning Experience, and that is here when I am on the Invincible America course, when I go to the dorm in the morning. An early cool and crispy day welcomes me. I am on my way to the Patanjali Golden Dome, which is my long morning home. A cloud of milky fog has filled the wide green soccer field. Transcendence hanging in the air, quite dense. Onwards I march. On the dome vastu fence, my friend the Rabbin sits heavenly sent, chirping, "Good morning, my dear friend." I answer, "I hear you. Good morning to you, too." Satisfied, he repeats his morning song, conveying me on my way all along. I walk faster, getting to the dorm, cannot wait to sit on the foam. I feel no harm can come my way, being invincible as the whole USA. Receiving an ocean of bright purity, all glory to Gurudev and Maharishi. Diving deep into myself, seeing a beautiful blonde elf, flying beside me towards the clouds, I am lifted high, way, way out. The elf gives me an inspirational kiss, creating in me waves of bliss. I feel I can turn the world around and never again be physically bound. Stepping out of the dorm, so free, a light trickle is wetting me. A rain of bliss, walking in the rain, creates fresh brightness in my brain, makes me grow in consciousness, feeling crystal clear unboundedness. Rain, to nourish the earth with bountiful harvest, feeding the world so all will be blessed.
Beautiful.
You like it? Okay. Now we said a shorter one. Utopia. I would like to see the world in perfect harmony, so all people behave only nobly towards each other. I believe we are already on the way this instant, at least here on this campus. I can see no evil. The morning sun is radiating much more beauty than at any other known spot on this earth. The gray clouds are lined in crimson, yellow and purple, and the roses are not excelled anywhere in their fragrance. Only smiles and pure kindness I see all around. It is really heaven reaching down to earth. It is the unique place to spend the years without the aging body withering away. Staying young in a golden age, this is the secret known to the lucky ones.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Okay, more from the dome. I step inside the golden dome, walking slowly towards my seat. First along the middle path, then turn left to the southern wall. I put my pillow in position, place my glasses on the wooden panel, my keys without any noise, wrapping myself into my Indian blanket, originated from the Himalayas. I close my eyes, gliding into another world. 1.5 hours later, refreshed, settled and satisfied, I step outside into the full sunshine, ready for a new day.
Beautiful.
Another short one. That's a sonnet, and it's called My Yellow Rose. Roses are my favorite. In my garden, I saw a yellow rose. Its fragrant sweetness was like morning sky. It really was taking my breath away. To put it in a glass vase, I choose. While sitting contently in my living room, its nectar scatters around its ample joy. The words I'm writing come out and fly because of my favorite pleasant yellow bloom. When winter comes and covers all with white, my yellow rose sleeps in its snowy base. Till spring arrives, then all is full with blaze. Robins return and all the world is right. Maharshi, this blissful flow of being, my yellow rose constantly is giving.
That's beautiful.
You want some questions?
That's really beautiful, Emil. I have to ask you, that particular poem, you were a farmer in Israel, and you raised roses at one time.
Yeah, I grew roses in a glass house of 1 acre.
Do you remember that, Naomi?
Yes.
She was working in it.
I helped a little bit.
And we were sending those roses every day by air to Europe. Yeah. And for well, some time it was a very good income.
Yeah. Well, the world needs more roses. Thank you very much. So, from giving some raising real roses and sending them to everybody, you're giving us poetry about roses.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah. Also, and don't forget the title of my book is The Transcendental Rose.
Yes.
Which is Maharishi is holding his hand in his hand, and he's explaining his knowledge through the rose. He
yes.
takes off the petals and he speaks about the sap.
Yeah.
And everything becomes very clear because of the rose.
Yes, now you were inspired by Maharishi to write that book?
Very much.
Yes. You can tell when you read it. It's very wonderful.
Actually, he wrote a poem about Maharishi.
Do you have it there?
Well, shall I read it about Maharishi?
Yes.
I have to look it up just for a minute.
Sure.
The old man.
So what was the name of the poem?
The Old Man I Believe In.
Very good.
We are growing old together. I only saw you once on Lake Lucerne. You are the greatest man on earth, even so small in structure. You saved my life, opened my eyes, widened my narrow horizon. My world has changed since I received your special word. I was poor, desperate, full of economic stress, then started traveling, seeing the world. Always with enough money to spend, enjoying beautiful mountains and wide rivers. I reached Holland, Switzerland, even my old home in Germany. Later, visited the unique university amidst green cornfields, the fair fields. Here I am now in my new modest home. 23 years flew by like morning dew. Instead of getting older, having wrinkles in my face, I feel newborn when I enter the Golden Dome, morning and afternoon, thinking about you. How you are changing the world, providing peace, an utopian dream. No more wars, murderous attacks of bombs and mines, guns and hate. You never rest, always on the alert, spreading your belief from the ancient source. I owe you so much I can never repay. Enjoyment of life, sometimes it's more than I can take. I overflow with never-ending bliss. I hope you may rest and let others pull the heavy load of changing the world with everlasting calm, so you may enjoy the work you accomplished, which was never achieved by any human on this cherished earth.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
I like it. Okay, now we have Utopia Park. I think you read that already.
That one. What is the moment of truth? What is that poem? Moment of truth.
And the next poem?
Moment of truth. There on the road to the Great Canyon, the morning sun's beams seek to penetrate the dense pine forest. Animated, I listen to Mozart's magic flute. A broad brown head with high white antlers watchfully surveys the situation. A sturdy stack treads between two huge trees with majestic steps. I stop my car, let nature have its right of way. The mighty buck strides into the road. I tune down the aria of Papadeno. The king stares at me, deciding I am harmless. Now, right behind, steps a dedicated Jew. Graciously trailing the noble chief, she trusts him and he trusts me, so no harm is done to the angelic pair as they slowly cross their precocious paths. From the opposite side, a large 18-wheeler approaches noisily the serene pair on the road. With a loud whiz, the mighty truck comes to a halt. The driver has a bright grin on his rugged face. Royally, the deer reach the secure edge, retiring into their safe woody kingdom. In this moment of truth, my thoughts reach out to God's magnificent creation. In the midst of today's highly technical developed world, something is left from the idyllic Eden, where angels guard such rare encounters, to let me delight in this heavenly instant.
Beautiful.
That's sweet.
That's so good. Now, Emil, I know you have written other things too. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the books that you have written. I think there's one, The Transcendental Rose, which we mentioned, and The Star's Nest.
Stork's Nest. It's an historical novel in southern Germany where I grew up. Uh-huh. And I put in some of the German aristocracy and the Kabbalah. And in the end, I also put in world peace.
Oh my gosh, that's quite a broad stroke of knowledge, my God.
I don't know if you're going to be interested in that, but if you like, chapter 4 of The Stork's Nest is unbelievably beautiful. Yeah, it's
so just tell us, Naomi, what you like about it.
I like the knowledge of the Kabbalah. It reminds me of, Vedic science. It's very nice to draw the parallels. Uh-huh. And you learn a lot from that. Uh-huh. I learned so much from my father reading it to me. I asked him to read it to me several times. Occasions, and maybe he would want to read it even now, parts of it. It's beautiful.
Yes, if you have some part of it you would like to read.
Do you want to? Do you want to read chapter 4 from The Stork's Nest?
Naomi, can you tell us what part of the scriptures is this Kabbalah? What part of it is it? Is it ancient Hebrew, or is it more modern?
The Kabbalah, my father knows much better than
me. The Kabbalah is Jewish mysticism.
Yeah.
And it was actually started from Rabbi Akiva right after the destruction of Jerusalem.
Temple?
In a very ancient time.
Uh-huh. The first
and
temple?
During the years, it was hidden more or less. And then famous rabbis discovered it and brought it out to flowering. And in the Middle Ages, the time of my novel, in Tzfat it was taught, and many, many people came there, Christians, Muslims, Jews, it was open for everybody. Mm. And it was really the flowering time of the Kabbalah. And my hero, he went there from Germany, and he learned the Kabbalah.
Whoa.
Yes, they have also, they meditate. It's a little different from our meditation, but it...
Yeah, so we'll have to talk about that
some other time, maybe.
Very good.
Find out that you're not Portugal.
We probably won't use it, but I'd like to hear it. Goethe?
Yeah, and this grandson became friend with one of my forefathers, which I created, a rabbi, and they were friends. Mm-hmm. Both of them were very educated because his library, and they became friends, and they went together to the Holy Land. Mm. And I cannot tell the whole story yet.
You know, Goethe is one of my favorite people. He's the one that said, at least every day one should read a good poem, see a fine piece of art, and if possible, say a few reasonable words. And I thought that was it's really deep. I really like that.
We do that spontaneously,
yeah,
don't we?
Well, so we'll have to talk about that.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock.
Okay.
We did very good.
Thank you, Emil and Naomi Bear, for this extraordinarily good poetry and your wonderful visit with our listeners of World Radio KHOE. Please come back again. Jai Gurudev.